The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Well, Kratov, Howard, I was just wondering to myself if it's still too early to start wishing people Shana Tova. It's still more than 2 weeks away from Rosh Hashanah. What's the kind of accepted moment when you can start wishing people Shana Tova? I noticed the ads already wishing people Shana Tova also in Israel.
So I think it's the fact that we're in Elul and we've got 2 weeks to go. I definitely think we can start. I think look. Let's not kid. I mean, we're going to start hearing Boney M in shopping malls any day now, and that's for December the 25th. So I think we're fully within our rights to be wishing people Shana Tova. We could have started by that token in June.
The month of Elul is okay, you think?
Yeah, definitely. Once in the month of Elul, we definitely are allowed. There's no question about that.
Question: how long after Shana Tova is going to last as well? You know?
That is true. I think that's through to Thanksgiving. I don't know. Anyway, the situation along the Gaza border remains tense after rockets were fired again during the day yesterday. How is the upcoming election influencing the situation, Anthony?
Well, I certainly think that the election next week is influencing the situation, whether it be from the Gaza side where, of course, Hamas and the various Renegade groups that are operating in Gaza are well aware of the election. The upcoming election, and they are well aware of the fact that a rocket fire from their side could influence the voting public to vote slightly differently. I'm not exactly sure what their interest is. In other words, I don't know whether they have some sort of view that says that they would like to see Prime Minister Netanyahu back in power or not. I've no real sense of, you know, what that the Arab street is thinking about Netanyahu and whether he's better the devil you know than you don't know for them, or whether they're thinking that maybe it's time to change him out and they think that they might gain some advantage by having a new prime minister in the seat. But certainly in terms of Israel's responses, I mean, there is no doubt that the last thing that the prime minister would like to see right now is some sort of a huge escalation in activities in some sort of an operation along the Gaza border. That certainly would have an influence on how people might choose to vote next week on Tuesday when we go to the polls. So there is no doubt that whatever's going on across the Gaza border is being influenced by the election, even if it's in a subconscious way. But the irony is that there were two separate sets of red alert alarms that were sounded yesterday, one at around 2 p.m, when apparently rockets were indeed fired from Gaza, three rockets that were fired around 2 o'clock in the areas of Yad Mordechai and Nativ Asara, school children were still at school at that hour and of course would have needed to go to their secure areas and bomb shelters when the red alert sirens were sounded. And in fact, there were rockets that fell within residential areas. In fact, one rocket fell near a house. It caused minor damage when shrapnel hit that house. Another rocket fell near a town along the Gaza border, and no damage was caused there. And the third rocket fell completely. Okay. Fortunately, there were no injuries in any of those incidents. Later in the evening, there was once again a red alert sirens, this time sounded in the town of Zikim and in the town of Mivkagim. And it's not quite sure, we're not quite sure exactly what precipitated those alarms. There are reports suggesting that it was a false alarm and that in fact the rocket sirens went off due to responding to fire that was directed from Gaza towards Israeli aircraft, anti-aircraft missiles effectively being fired in an attempt to try and bring down Israeli aircraft. Fortunately, those attempts were not successful. The red alert sirens were sounded, which means that even if the alert was a false alarm, people would still have needed to have gone to their bomb shelters and things like that. So once again, a disruption to daily life and to daily existence, even if fortunately on this occasion, the individuals, private citizens were not under any particular threat. So that's really those are really the events from yesterday. And we can see that there is a lot of tension, that it's very, very nervous along the Gaza border. Tomorrow, once again, will be the Friday protests. In the past few weeks, people have been killed. Large numbers of people have gathered along the Gaza border. We don't even see or hear about this anymore. I mean, even the red alert sirens and the rockets that were fired yesterday, it was quite difficult to find this reported even in the Israeli press, because, you know, it's become such a part of everyday existence that it's almost as if though it becomes unimportant, because it's just another rocket incident, it's just another red alert siren, rather than being something which is, you know, newsworthy anymore, which I find very, very sad indeed. But unfortunately, that is currently the situation. But we obviously need to be aware of the events along the Gaza border, because things are very, very tense along that area at the moment.
Yeah, I'm finding myself more and more skeptical at this stage about any form of sort of this type of news. Not that it's not accurate, and not that it's not real, but we do see, and obviously as you say, what benefit would Hamas have in escalating anything now in terms of the election? Well, I don't know, but certainly it's very, very, it's not uncommon ahead of an election that we see this type of thing. And we do also know that it does always benefit a more right-wing government. It has to.
I agree with you. I think that there is no doubt that the right-wing government is really supported by security issues. They are considered to be more secure against any security threats against the state of Israel. And so it would support a right-wing government, which makes one wonder whether this is really in Hamas's best interests or not. As I said before, I'm not really sure, but my instinct is that they probably would like to see a more moderate government in place, in the hope that, you know, they feel that they might be able to have more influence over the decisions that are made by a government which is slightly more left-wing. I don't think there is any possible way that a left-wing as such government will come into existence. Let's keep remembering that I mean, the Kahol Lavan group, which is being labeled by the left-wingers, are really not left-wingers.
Not at all. Absolutely.
They're really not left-wingers. I mean, they are on the right side of center. In fact, I would argue that without Prime Minister Netanyahu at the head of Likud, Benny Gantz would feel quite at home there. That's what I think. I think the only reason that he's joined up with Lapid is because they're trying to get a movement to remove Netanyahu from the prime ministerial office. But that Gantz would feel quite at home as a member of the Likud. And, you know, in a very, very strange kind of future situation, I can't rule out the possibility that Benny Gantz could be prime minister as a member of the Likud party. That wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Certainly, it's certainly been his home for long enough that it shouldn't be an issue. The interesting thing as well is that so close to the election, and I do think that we saw again, and I always find patterns important. I think that's one of the most important things we can observe in life. But Prime Minister Netanyahu, on his way to Sochi this morning for a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. I recall having this kind of conversation with you pretty much the same time, almost like a few days before the last election where he met Putin.
Absolutely.
What?
Absolutely. And of course, of course, Putin is the leader, the world leader that Prime Minister Netanyahu seems to have met the most over the past few years. I can't remember how many meetings they've had now. We've sort of lost count of them, but numerous meetings. And while, of course, there are things of common interest for Putin and Netanyahu to discuss, there's absolutely no doubt. One wonders whether much of this couldn't have been conducted on the phone, and whether it really justifies this many meetings. And I agree with you. I think that this is very much an election ploy to try and position Netanyahu as being on the international stage. He was in London last week. He's going off to Sochi today to Putin's kind of home village. It's not really a village, Sochi. It's quite a big city. But to Putin's hometown, where Putin likes to entertain foreign dignitaries. Putin has a home in Sochi. And so I guess over the summertime, he might be spending some time there, and he likes to entertain foreign dignitaries there. So, of course, Netanyahu is feeding that for him. on the Russian side a little bit. But there is no doubt that Netanyahu is very much trying to position himself on the international stage in order to differentiate himself from the other potential prime ministerial candidates, Gantz in particular, who of course doesn't have that international standing. So to me, this is very much an election ploy. Having said that, there are a lot of important things for a discussion between Putin and between Netanyahu. They will be talking about Syria. They will be talking about the Russian presence in Syria. They will be talking about coordination of aircraft activity in the area, with many Russian aircraft still operating in the Syrian airspace, and of course Israeli aircraft doing the same, operating actually in Syrian and Lebanese airspace, and not only limiting their flights to Israeli airspace. They will be talking about Iran. There's a lot to talk about Iran, not only about Russia's ongoing support for Iran, and not only about Russia's ongoing supply of arms and weapons and ammunition to Iran, but also about the fact that Iran is apparently establishing quite a significant presence in the form of large military bases in Syria. Mm. And of course, Russia has huge influence over what's going on in Syria. And I think that Netanyahu would most likely be talking to Putin about the possibility of limiting Iran's ability to establish these huge military bases in Syria. So there is quite a lot to talk about. And of course, the Russians have responded quite negatively to Netanyahu's announcement the day before yesterday. Mm. Yeah, they responded quite negatively to this idea that Netanyahu may wish to annex parts of the Jordan Valley. Russia has warned against this. They think that it could lead to sharp escalation of tensions in the region and undermine hopes for the establishment of a long-awaited peace between Israel and its Arab neighbors, in the words of what the Russians said in response to that. So I have no doubt that will be an item on the agenda for discussion, but really not of immediate significance, because until the moment that that Israel decides to annex the Jordan Valley, if indeed that may take place, there will be a lot further discussion and a lot more said about that. So I think right now it's about positioning Netanyahu on the international stage, photo opportunities with Putin ahead of next Tuesday's election, and about talking about Iran and things going on in Syria right now.
Yeah, unbelievable. And finally, this is a great story, and I happen to know a number of people going down to Cape Town for the marathon over the weekend. But Israeli marathon champion and icon, is it Beatty? Deutsch.
Beatty, yes.
Beatty Deutsch will be in Cape Town on Sunday to run in the marathon. Now, if I'm not mistaken, she's the Haredi woman, or the religious woman, who is just this incredible athlete.
Correct. That's her. And that's why she's such an icon. She's an icon not only for women, but she's an icon for religious women, because of course she runs with her very tsanua garb, with a very conservative, she runs in a skirt, by the way. You know, her response is that there are times when that skirt does limit her ability to get faster times. But she believes, in according to an interview that I read actually in the Cape Jewish Chronicle, which had a very, very interesting article about her, she believes that running in a skirt is her way of getting God's support for the work that she's doing, and she believes that this is really a God-given gift that she's exercising. She has unbelievable times running the marathon, but I think the main reason why she's decided to come to Cape Town this time around is, of course, looking ahead to next year's Tokyo Summer Olympics. She's aiming to qualify. I think the qualification time is 2:37 in order to be able to qualify for the Olympic Games. Her personal best is 5 minutes slower than that, which is still quite remarkable at 2:42. Let's remember that, you know, she is a mother of five children, that she didn't run her first marathon until 3 years ago. And she's just come in and had amazing achievements, and she's doing so well, and she's a great icon and representative of the State of Israel, and for Judaism, for Jewish people, for women, for ultra-Orthodox, for Orthodox. I think that she represents so many different categories of people, and she's just very, very low-key she doesn't, you know, she's not promoting herself. She just believes that she's using the gift that she's been given by God to be able to run. Would you believe that the reason that she first decided to run a marathon was because she was out with her family running on the beach, mm-hmm. and that out of all of her siblings, she was the last one in the family race that they ran on the beach, and she was so disappointed that she decided, she said to her husband at that moment, I'm going to run a marathon in order to prove to myself that I can do better than this. And this is where it's all come from. An amazing story. Please do follow her on Sunday for those who can. Those who are going down to Cape Town to run, look out for her. Of course, this
is she'll be ahead of you, I can tell you. Yeah, she's going to be way ahead of you. So you only might be able to take a photo from behind, but try anyway.
Absolutely. Enjoy. Good luck to those who are running. I wish you all a great weekend. And of course, we will be following BT Deutsch on Sunday.
Of course, we will indeed. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. You have a fantastic weekend. A Shabbat Shalom. And we'll catch you on a Monday. Same time, same.